Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Beats it across the court. Bobby Portis lets it fly, and he zeroes in from three again. Bobby Portis delivers for the fourth time from the bonus sphere of the Bucks back to single digits.
Bucks talk starts now.
It'll be a 116-101 final score here at Fiserv Forum. Philadelphia takes down the Bucks.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
116-101, our final tonight. The Sixers come back to Milwaukee and win once again. Another tough loss from this Bucks team who, you know, continues to lose in those margins that we've talked about seemingly every single game so far this season, whether it's turnovers and points off of turnovers, free throws, opponent field goal attempts, and those being a higher figure than what the Bucks are putting up here. It's been one thing after another for this Bucks team, who, again, when you don't have Giannis on the floor, and prior to that, you didn't have Giannis, you didn't have Kevin Porter Jr., the injuries that they've dealt with and the way that this team is, as we've noted, has been chipped away through the years, you don't have that margin for error to overcome things that this team routinely did in the past. And that is what we've started to see here. If you dig yourself a hole, it becomes incredibly difficult to crawl out of that. It's a much different makeup to the team than it was a season ago when you dug yourself a hole to the tune of that 2-8 start to the season. But you still had some firepower with this group. You still have some now, but you can't continue to put yourself in those positions and situations, especially in games that you're going to play without Giannis. And again, that is going to be the norm for the next couple of weeks now. We got the report yesterday that Giannis is looking at a 2 to 4 week timeline with his calf strain. And, you know, Doc Rivers talked about calf strains in general before the game tonight and his media availability, and how it's not just Giannis, it's been popping up around the league. Calf strains, Achilles, tears and strains as well. Soleus is another area, the soft tissue injuries that have been there, but they have now occurred to Giannis a couple of times in these past few years. So as Doc noted, you know, it's going to be something where, because of that, and because just a year and a half ago, it cost Giannis the playoffs, you know, suffering a very similar injury and at almost the exact same spot on the floor. But a week, 10 days before the playoffs began against the Boston Celtics, it's going to be something that you're going to have to be extra cautious with Giannis for upon his return, but that just puts a lot of pressure on everybody else in the interim to keep the boat afloat here for the Bucks. 116-101, our final score tonight. 10-14 now on the season for the Bucks. Good news, bad news, depending on how you view it, for reasons we will get to in a moment, but Bulls lost too, so the Bucks are still sitting at 10th. Right now in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, we talked about this a couple of games ago, a couple of weeks ago, too, when you started to really notice it. The separation has started to take hold. On the Pistons, 18-5, that's who you have tomorrow. The Knicks are 15-7. You've already lost to the Knicks once this season. Same with Detroit. The Raptors, you've split with as well. And think back to last year in the 2-8 start. That's the other interesting thing is the top three seeds in the East right now, the Bucks are 3-3 against. And a year ago, it was at this point 0-8 against those top three records. But you're 3-3 against those teams. You haven't played the Magic yet. You haven't played the Celtics yet. You lost to Miami. And now you're 0-2 against Philly, 0-2 against the Cavs, haven't played Atlanta yet. Those are your 10 teams that right now would make up the playoff field in the Eastern Conference. But with 14 losses, you are already 5 back in the loss column of the group that is suddenly populating 3 through 7, and those teams being Toronto, Orlando, Boston, Miami, and Philadelphia. You are even further back, 7 back of the second-seeded Knicks, 9 back of the Pistons. You're 3 back of the Cavaliers, 2 back of the Hawks. These are in the loss column. And suddenly, 3 back of the Hawks, I beg your pardon, 4 back of the Cavs. But suddenly it's you and the Bulls. You're 10-14. The Bulls are 9-13. Both of those two teams got off two strong starts this season, the Bucks and the Bulls. To be clear, the players are not going to view it this way when you hear things like tank and play for lottery picks and draft positioning. That's not a player thing. That's not how players view it. They're competitors. When they step on the floor, they're doing so to win. Front offices and organizations may feel differently. It does feel like we are looking at 11 teams that are fighting for 10 spots in the postseason here in the Eastern Conference. 11 teams that are going to try, at least we think at this moment, to be playoff teams. If Giannis is going to miss 4 weeks, and we've seen some of these numbers, they have not been pretty with the Bucks' metrics with Giannis off the floor. It does not paint a very rosy outlook for the remainder of the season. We talked about this the other night. I talked about this on Locked On Bucks yesterday, or today's show as well. You know, Doc keeps mentioning silver lining. There may be one, but again, it has to do with organizational alignment, and it has to do or will be decided by the elephant in the room as well, which is something none of us have been able to avoid for the past couple of weeks, and especially the last 2 days when all the Giannis chatter started to pick up. 855-616-1620 is the Signing Unlimited talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So that potential silver lining, outlooks for the rest of the season and ways to view, how do you go from here? Is it ironic, too, that it may have come to this and given you this answer or brought you to this answer and decision? Playing the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll mention why that is ironic, or at the very least coincidental. And take some of your thoughts as well when we return on Bucks Talk. 116-101 final score tonight. Was this by choice? Was this
not
entirely coincidental what you played coming back here?
But if it works, that's fine.
Yeah, there's not much left in the tank on nights like this when the Bucks are playing without Giannis. And it wasn't a great night in terms of efficiency from Kevin Porter Jr., who's been the other bright spot. I mean, we've talked about Ryan Rollins at length. But seeing Kevin Porter Jr. back and seeing how much that has helped change the offense, the tank was largely empty tonight for the Bucks, who come up short against the Sixers for the second time this season. And now, again, 10-14 on the season. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight. So, you know, it's obviously a tough start to the season for this team to be playing a bulk of these games without Giannis now. You did not envision that. But it goes beyond that. They are not, to be clear, they are not in this spot just because Giannis has been injured now twice this season. The numbers with Giannis on the floor were not good enough in November. You had a tremendous start with that 4-1 record, and, you know, it's not a lot of games. I get that. It's a very small sample size. You played tough competition, and you looked like a very good team. And then as soon as you got to November, the wheels just kind of fell off for this group. And they have not been able to recover since, and then things like injuries have occurred along the way. And this one to Giannis, potentially long-term, right? Depending on how you view these time frames here, but we know it's going to be at least 2 to 4 weeks. We heard from Doc before the game. They have every reason in the world to be cautious with Giannis here. It has nothing to do with anything off the floor either. It's a player who turns 31 tomorrow that has now started to pile up some of these soft tissue injuries the past couple of years. These are things, and calves especially. At this point, I think you can make a case, man, when you see calf strain and calf injuries, those are almost the worst things to pop up on injury reports. And sure, you have things like a torn ACL or torn meniscus, which just wiped Kevin Porter Jr. out for a month. You can recover from those. The issue with the calf strains is it's something that just kind of seems to linger. And there's no exact science to show whether or not this is in fact why Dame suffered his torn Achilles or other players have had that. But it's starting to happen at a much, much more alarming rate that is starting to bypass coincidence. So they're going to be cautious with Giannis. This means that Giannis, in all likelihood, is going to be ineligible for any individual honors and awards for the first time in his career. It's going to be very tough for him to hit that 65 game mark for games played. Doc said before the game tonight, I would guess it's closer to the four-week range. Like, we've talked to Giannis already. I talked to him. He's in good spirits. I know how Giannis is. Whenever any injury occurs, you hear from him of, you know, I think I'll be back in a week, coach, or I'll be ready by this date. We haven't discussed any of that. I know he's going to be pushing for a speedy return and thinks he'll be able to do that, but I would guess it's going to be closer to 4 weeks. If that's the case, I believe it is 11 games that Giannis would miss. I mean, the benefit to it, and what Doc also noted, is, you know, if there's a time to have an injury, there never is, to be clear, but if there's a time where you would say, okay, where it's got to happen, where do you want it on your calendar, is right now. Because you get 4 days off after tomorrow, you'll play in Detroit, and then you don't play again until next Thursday, 6 weeks from today, at home against the Boston Celtics. Then you get 2 days off, and you go to Brooklyn to face the Nets. Then after that, you get 3 days off, and you come right back home and face the Toronto Raptors. So that's three games we're talking about between now, four games, between now and December 18th. 2 weeks from now. You got 2 days off in between games on the five-game road trip as well. So they have four instances of 2 days off here in the month of December, at least 2 days off. That's the good thing. The bad thing for the Bucks is, we have seen by the numbers, they've just not been a good team in those games and minutes that Giannis has been off the floor, and now you're potentially facing 10, 11, 12 of those games at a point where you are now four games below 500, and we are past a quarter of the way through the season. So it is going to lead to a lot of discussion over, and I know it's probably already starting to happen, but a lot of discussion over, what do you do? How do you proceed with this season? And I mentioned it's at least coincidental that we have to really examine this tonight following a loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. Because Philly was in a very, very similar spot a season ago. You know, you look back to the start of the season last year, and I think two of the most notable things to the season in the negative category, the positives were, man, here come the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look what they're doing en route to 64 wins on the season. But the negatives were, what is wrong with the Bucks and their 2-8 start to the season? And the other one was the Philadelphia 76ers, who just could not, similar to what we're saying about the Bucks right now, could not catch a break when it comes to health. You know, the 2-8 start for the Bucks. You look back at Philly, at this point on the calendar year, 1 year ago, December 5th, Philadelphia was 5-15. You had the Embiid injuries, you had the Paul George injury and his kind of failure to launch to start the season with the hyperextended knee. Injuries started to pile up for Philly. And every time it looked like they were going to start to right the ship, I think the closest they got was, again, ironically enough, four games below 500. When they got to 13-17, their final game played in the month of December. They followed that up with a two-game losing streak. They played 500 for a couple of games. Then they lost seven consecutive games, and they just never found their footing. It wasn't until really late January, early February, that the decision was made, given where we are, given the fact that we do have a first-round pick this upcoming summer, let's play for that. Let's play for the future. Let's play to inject some more youth into this team and try to get a good draft pick. It ultimately led to VJ Edgecombe, who started his career with 34 points in a win against the Boston Celtics. And, you know, he has not been the same guy on a nightly basis, but you definitely have a very nice piece there in VJ Edgecombe, especially with the backcourt of Edgecombe and what he brings with his dynamic athleticism and defensive ability. He's proven to be a much better shooter than we anticipated. And Tyrese Maxey. I mention all of this because you are now four games below 500 at 10-14. You have the Pistons tomorrow night on the road. Going to be very challenging. After that, you have the Boston Celtics, who after an 0-3 start have won 14 of their last 20 games to get to 14-9 on the season. After that, you have the Brooklyn Nets. It should be a win. But after that Nets game, you come home and you play the Raptors, and following that, you're on the road for five games. Timberwolves are on there. The Indiana Pacers, who are getting healthier, are on there. The Bulls are on there. The Charlotte Hornets are on there. And the last two teams that we mentioned, really three with Indiana, those are the important ones. Because you may have to start to look at these standings. When I mentioned, feels like there's 11 teams that are fighting to get into the playoffs and you only got 10 spots. The Bulls have been one of those teams. Potentially the Charlotte Hornets could be one of those teams if they start to get healthy in the way Colin Knipl has played. But if you're the Bucks and you look at this and say, look, Giannis may not return. If it's going to be 4 weeks, Giannis may not return until early January. Where are we going to be at that point? You know, 1-5 now, I believe, is the record in games that Giannis has not played in. What if we have 10 more of these games? And what if we win two of those? And we're looking at a point where we're 12-22 on the season. Because of where we currently sit with our future assets and what is owed, we do not have our 2027 first-round pick. That was traded to the New Orleans Pelicans in the Jrue Holiday trade. That's it. That's the last of what you owe New Orleans, though. But then you have the payments that are owed to the Portland Trailblazers in 2028 and 2030. It's not until 2031 that you control your draft going forward. But you do have a pick this summer. There is a pick swap that is attached to that. That is also part of the Jrue Holiday trade. It's with the New Orleans Pelicans. So in other words, if you have a worse pick than New Orleans, you'll keep your pick. If your pick is better than New Orleans, you don't keep the pick. But it doesn't go to New Orleans, in case I've lost you yet. It goes to the Atlanta Hawks because of a draft day trade by New Orleans. Right now, the Pelicans have the worst record in basketball at 3-20. If they finish with the worst record, they are guaranteed to get no worse than the fifth pick in the draft. Because of the lottery, you can only move down four slots. So if the Bucks look at where they currently are at and know, look, there's a good chance New Orleans at worst is going to be picking somewhere from 5-8 in all likelihood, probably 5-7 in all likelihood, we're not going to have to worry about swapping our pick. Now, that's going to go to Atlanta, but we're going to have our pick. Should we start to look at things and say, what can we do like Philly did a season ago and say, this is the best chance we have right now to get some young, explosive talent into our system? I know you got Ryan Rollins that you've developed. I know same can be said for A.J. Green. Kevin Porter Jr., right? He's got a player option next year, though. But blue-chip talent, young guys on a rookie-scale deal, that's the one thing through this decade that has constantly been missing from this group. You put in all your chips to get Jrue Holiday, to get Damian Lillard, to bring in other pieces. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. But you were always picking towards the back end of the draft or did not have a pick to begin with because of some of those deals. You've never been able to rejuvenate the system with some of that talent. This could be your chance to do that. So at what point do you start to look at the standings and say, you know, we're basically neck and neck with the Bulls. We're not too far in front of the Charlotte Hornets. After that, it's going to start to be tough, you would think, to find any other movement. Brooklyn's four games back of you. Same for Indiana in the loss column. Same with Washington in the loss column. But you can't prolong it any further. It's a tough call because, as I mentioned, the players are competitors, and they're going to want to win. But there's also something else that seems to be hanging over this group when you're analyzing what's the best thing to do for this team going forward. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited, the talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So what do you do? We're 24 games into the season now. There are 58 games remaining. We're getting pretty close to a third of the way through the season. You're four games below 500. The schedule that we just rattled off and who's in front of this team, there is certainly a chance we could be talking about another losing streak here. And if that four games below 500 becomes eight or seven even, God forbid 10, and starts to get worse than that, does that make the decision for you? You're the GM. You're in charge of this summer for the Bucks. What is the direction you're passing down right now as you sit at 10-14 on the season and look at a pretty bunched up Eastern Conference that's starting to separate itself from you? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk. 116-101 final. The Bucks come up short against the Sixers. They're now 10-14 on the season. I threw the question out there. How do you navigate these waters now, knowing that you're not going to have Giannis for at the very least 2 weeks? It sounds like if we take Doc Rivers at his word, it's at least 4 weeks that we are most likely looking at, which is going to mean there is probably another 10 to 11 games that you're going to be playing without Giannis. They start to get challenging again. Detroit tomorrow, Boston next week, Toronto the week after that. You do have the Nets in there. But you got a five-game road trip after that. Minnesota is on there. Indiana, Chicago, Memphis, and the Charlotte Hornets. There's a very real possibility you could go 2-8 in those 10 games. And that would put you at 12-22, 10 games below 500. How do you navigate the rest of this season and these next 4 weeks, especially knowing, you know, going back to the summer and talking about before the Damian Lillard wave and stretch and the signing of Miles Turner, everybody kicked around the phrase of gap year. And, well, do you just go into the gap year if you're the Bucks and say, look, we know Dame is going to be out for the year. We have that conversation with Giannis and say, there's no Dame. Let's just play for a draft pick. Since we do have a pick this year, let's monitor what New Orleans does. If they're bad, we can get a pick there. And, of course, the pushback is, look, the message from Giannis has been very clear. Like, I want to compete. I'm not looking for reasons to leave. I'm looking for a reason to stay. And that reason to stay is us remaining competitive. I want to compete for a championship, continue to do that, and I'm happy. Makes it pretty tough to lean into a gap year, right? Well, after a nice start to the season, you got off to a slow start, and Giannis gets hurt. And now it really does feel like it is starting to snowball, and you are in quicksand. So what do you do for the rest of the season? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. And again, you have your first-round pick, or you have a first-round pick this summer. It is a pick swap. So it's between you and New Orleans. New Orleans doesn't own the pick. Atlanta does. So if you finish with a worse record than the Pelicans, it doesn't matter by record. What matters is where you end up in the lottery. So you could finish with a worse record than New Orleans, but if they win the lottery and you don't, and you finish with the fourth pick in the draft, but they get number one, they would have had the right to choose. Which pick do we want, us or the Bucks? That now goes to the Atlanta Hawks. But you still keep the other pick. That's the important part. And again, the Pelicans right now have the worst record in the league. So the chances are starting to become greater and greater that you're going to have a good pick in this summer's draft. And this summer's draft has been billed as one of the better drafts we have seen in quite some time, with a lot of talent that could bear a lot of fruit for this team. And when we talk about a group that, you know, had gotten older through the years, lacked athleticism, you addressed some of that, but you still need to get some of those other injections. When you look at the opponent you played tonight, Philadelphia, with Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe, that type of talent. And I know Maxey wasn't even a lottery pick. You got him towards the end of the first round, but it's that type of talent that has really eluded the Bucks outside of, you know, obviously the top-tier talent in Giannis and Dame and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and those likes. But that's what's eluded you the last few years, and that's why it's become increasingly difficult to keep this car running down the road. So knowing there's 58 games left, and, you know, in all likelihood, at least the next 10 of those 58 you're playing without Giannis, how do you tackle the rest of the season? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Matt, what do you do? They're 10-14 right now. I know there's a lot of chatter, and that is certainly a huge piece to this about what is going on with your best player and what may or may not have already happened or transpired in terms of desires to maybe chase competition elsewhere. But knowing there is a great possibility for us to really increase our chances at a pretty good pick in what is going to be a very, very good draft this year, it at least plants that seed. Because, again, this is where I think Philadelphia started to lean towards the answer a year ago. They were worse than the Bucks at this point in the season in terms of their record. They had more injuries than the Bucks are dealing with. But you started to get that sense at this point a year ago, and it wasn't until late January, February, where you just said, okay, we got to lean into this, and we got to get in front of the curve and say, we lose this pick if we're outside, would have went to Oklahoma City, of this number. Let's start to lose games so we can enhance our odds. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Let's go to the phone lines here and check in with Jeremy in Milwaukee. You're up tonight on Bucks Talk.
Hey, there's a lot of Bucks talk along the lines of Giannis getting traded. Question is, why would he get traded?
If he wants to.
But he never said he wanted to.
Well, he hasn't come out and verbally. Look, we don't know that he has or hasn't. We've heard Doc Rivers has said he has. We've heard other reports that it's at least been hinted at. He cannot come out and say, I want to be traded, and that's the tricky part in all of it, because of the CBA, and that brings with it a fine to make a public trade request. They're not going to trade him unless he asks for a trade. I've talked about this on the show Wednesday night and other shows. The Bucks are not going to proactively say, we are trading Giannis because it's in the best interest of our franchise. But if it is put out there, that's when you start to explore it. And, you know.
Yeah. It's Sham Charnia putting it out there, we get it. But nobody from the Bucks.
But here's the thing. And nobody from the Bucks can come out and say anything. And look, I know it's easy to pile on and say, well, this is fake because it hasn't happened yet. You don't make things up when you're a part of a network that big in a news outlet. This is not fabricated. And Giannis has had opportunities to address this. You go back to Media Day when he had his Zoom call. You go back to what he said at training camp. That should be very telling to say, look, I'm here now, I'm committed now. But if I change my mind in 6 months, it's human to do that. I'm allowed to do that. I know we're not at 6 months right now. But that wasn't a ringing, look, this is ridiculous, this is fake. He even said, I don't remember meeting with ownership. An hour after ownership said we had a meeting with him over the summer. So we're not going to do this thing where we say, well, this is fake and ESPN just wants him out of Milwaukee. There's been a lot of smoke here for a while. And I know it's been there for years, but I think we're also conveniently forgetting how much it dragged on through the years before you trade for Drew Holiday and then an extension is signed into the season. You trade for Damian Lillard, same thing, and then an extension is signed leading up to the season. So, look, I don't take this as ESPN is making things up because they want Giannis out of Milwaukee and they don't want small market teams to survive. How did the Oklahoma City Thunder win the championship last year then? That's a pretty small market team in the grand scheme of things. How is it that the Raptors, the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Bucks have all won championships in the last 5 years? Like, this isn't a fabrication. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Matt in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, Justin, how's it going, guys? So obviously lots of, I wouldn't say turmoil, but there's a lot of definitely questions. But like you pointed out before, is there, you know, with obviously New Orleans being so bad and us kind of on their heels, like, is there a way where you can kind of pitch the emergence of kind of, you know, a new age Jennings, Monta Ellis, like, as in, you know, like, you've got, so you've got these two guys who can play.
Let's hope it's better than Jennings or Monta Ellis.
Well, I mean, I would also like to believe that as well. You know, I mean, so you have that, you know, not to, I can't remember why Golden State was so bad that one year. Steph was Curry out.
Yeah.
You know,
Clay had torn his ACL and Curry got injured.
So I mean, like, I'm really trying to fit this peg into that hole. It's like, okay, like, you look at Golden State, they were terrible this year, this one year, and all of a sudden they had another decent crack, you know, at, you know, a lottery pick or, you know, something that could be, could actually move the needle. I mean, is this really something that we could kind of, like, pitch and, like, kind of poke, you know, the cap goes up, you know, some of these contracts fall off, Kuzma becomes expiring. Like, you know, I feel like there is a lot more flexibility in the summer to come than we had this year, even with the wave and stretch. And obviously, you know, just literally if Giannis wants to leave, that's something else entirely. But in the universe right. where he doesn't, like, is there a way to kind of maneuver this conversation in a way like, hey, man, like, this is the second era, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To frame it away.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's what you're going to have to do pretty soon because of the 10-14 record and the schedule that's in front of you. And again, the numbers and how this team has performed and looked when Giannis has been off the floor, it does not paint a rosy outlook right now, barring this team really coming together. And that was what made today interesting, is you wondered, okay, I know you're down Giannis, but Wednesday night, was that something that's galvanizing? And could you get a Ewing theory type of thing where this group comes together and is at least like playing 500-ish basketball, where you can put yourself in a spot to be, you know, two games or so below 500 by the time he gets back and say, okay, we feel like we weathered the storm, now we can take off. Look, you could still do that. There's still some time. But the schedule is difficult. So, yes, I think that may be what you have to do at this point and say, look, I know we've talked about competing, and I know that's what you desire. We have some young pieces here that we really like and that you've talked about as well in Ryan Rollins. A.J. Green is locked up as well. Kevin Porter Jr., you seem to have some type of chemistry there as well, and there's a lot of nice pieces or a lot of nice things to like about him. He does have a player option next year, but we feel we're in a good spot to retain him. Miles Turner's under contract for the next 3 years as well. So we feel like we have a nice baseline here. What we really need is to bring in some blue-chip talent, and the way to get that is with some good draft picks. And, you know, we all know about what's in front of them after this year with the pick swaps and the other trades that they've done with the Pelicans and Blazers, but that doesn't apply now because of how bad the Pelicans are right now, that this may be our opportunity to get a really good player in, you know, a highly touted draft class. And we think this is what we can do to be competitive. And as you put it, to usher in that next era. Now, for the Warriors, the way they did it was the year after they lost in the finals to the Toronto Raptors. Klay Thompson tore his ACL in, what, game 6 of that series. Kevin Durant left. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles and then left that summer as a free agent. And then Steph Curry got injured the following season. I think he only played like 5 games or something. So that's how they got pretty bad. They didn't fully take advantage of it, though, because of the picks that were made. When you think about a guy that just beasted the Bucks the other night, and Marvin Bagley in that draft, high in the draft, James Wiseman was the pick that the Warriors made, and some of the other picks along the way as well. When you think about Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, they've been, you know, role players and rotational pieces, but we kept hearing about this two timelines thing, to your point, of this is our next era of the Warriors. You know, we had Steph and Klay and Draymond Green and, you know, role players that won us that first batch of championships. Now it's going to be Steph, Klay when he comes back, and these young guys that get it done for us. I think, as we've seen, easier said than done, but you look no further than this team that you played tonight, and there's still a long way to go this season. I would not put Philadelphia up there in title contenders, but you look at how Philadelphia reshaped on the fly, basically, in the last 2 years, and went from we are a Joel Embiid team to we are a Joel Embiid team, and now we're bringing in Paul George and Tyrese Maxey as our third guy, to in the blink of an eye a season ago realizing, no, this is Tyrese Maxey. We can't trust Joel's knee. Let's play for a draft pick. You get VJ Edgecombe, and you build that backcourt now where all of a sudden Joel Embiid is a supplemental player. Did not play tonight. Has not played in either game against the Bucks. Not playing in both sets of a back-to-back, probably for the rest of his career. Paul George may be at that spot as well. But those are the things that you got to get to go your way. And look, what we just discussed here, like, if this is what you're doing, if this is the course you're going to chart, and as I said, the Bucks have no incentive to trade Giannis. I mean, we talked about it after Wednesday night's show. I talked about it on other shows in the last 2 days. This will not be a decision the organization makes and say, we're moving out of the Giannis business. We're moving on. Not only because you would then be saying, we are willing to trade or looking to trade one of the, at worst, three best players in the league right now. It's the whole package. It is everything off the court as well. It's the guy that arguably saved this franchise in Milwaukee. Who knows if the Bucks are still here if Giannis doesn't become the player that he did 10 years ago. You go back that far already. The buildup that you see around this arena, this new arena in itself, the economic boom, like jersey sales, having a country that is now invested in Bucks games in Greece because of Giannis, like, that's a lot to walk away from. And that is why the organization themselves will never say, we've decided we're trading it, we're moving on. It would have to be a mutual thing or something that is given to them of, look, we tried. I don't see the path here, especially if you're going younger. I don't think we're going to be competitive on my timeline. Let's look at those things. That's what makes everything we've discussed these past couple of minutes all the more challenging. Is you're going to have to get some buy-in and say, look, this is our plan. We think this is going to make us better. Are you on board with this? And if not, that's where it starts to become a difficult conversation. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. 116-101 final score. Bucks dropped to 10-14 now on the season. More after this. 116-101, the final score tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. The 76ers take down the Bucks for the second time this season. And the biggest surprise this when it wasn't because of Tyrese Maxey, only 12 points scored tonight. But Philly got big performances from their role players, and they kind of staggered it throughout the game. Jabari Walker with 18 points, 16 coming in the first half. Paul George hit some big shots down the stretch. Quentin Grimes led the Sixers with 22 points. So basically everything you needed to get, the way you needed to play, is what Philadelphia did. And this was a first-half deficit, in the first quarter, I should say, really, but 20-point deficit at the half. First quarter is what did the Bucks in. They won the final two quarters of the game. They were within striking distance in that second quarter, but you just got off to too slow of a start and dug yourself that hole, which, again, as you play without Giannis and, you know, without Damian Lillard this year and without those types of guys that you can lean on and say, okay, take us home, you don't have the margin for error to consistently do that. Another game where the opponents took more field goal attempts than the Bucks. Points off of turnovers were extremely problematic in the first half of this game, and save for the third quarter, free throw attempts and shooting overall was a big issue for the Bucks. So that's the recipe for another loss tonight, and that has been the recipe for this 10-14 start to the season. Again, if you just go off of what Doc Rivers said, it certainly feels like it's going to be 4 weeks before Giannis comes back. He said, if I had to guess, I believe his exact wording was, if I had to guess, I would say it's closer to 4 weeks. That would bring you to the start of January. And I believe there's a game there shortly into the calendar year against the Washington Wizards. I can't help but wonder if that, it's a home game, if that is the game where Giannis returns or if it's shortly after that. He is not going to travel to New Year's Eve. Okay. He is not going to travel to Detroit tomorrow. He will travel, though, with the group, and I would presume that is the, well, you have the road game against the Brooklyn Nets, but you also have a five-game road trip, which seems to indicate he's going to miss all or most of that road trip. So if we go up to that Wizards game, I think that's 10 more games, 9 more games, somewhere in there, that Giannis would be out. Your record without him is not great. When do you start to review this? You know, we've talked with a few people already about what the Warriors did and the two timelines approach. I mentioned what Philadelphia did last year, where as of this moment, they were in an even worse spot than you were 1 year ago today at 5-15. But they never found that consistent footing because of injuries and a lot of other things that just felt like if something could go wrong a season ago for Philly, it did. And we certainly have come to know that feeling well. But it wasn't until late January-ish that Philadelphia decided it's time to pack it in. And they were in a little different spot where they had even more incentive because their first-round pick was protected. It went to Oklahoma City, but there were protections on it. So if it was in, I believe, the top eight, they kept it. If it was outside of there, Oklahoma City got their first-round pick. So they really had to lean into, we need to finish, if at all possible, with a bottom-four record, because that means in the lottery we can't slide past number eight, and we will keep our pick. The lottery worked out in their favor. They got VJ Edgecombe. But it wasn't until January that that decision was made. If you got 9-10 more games that Giannis is going to miss with this injury. And keep in mind, that's just in the here and now. You know, I would assume with the timeline this was a grade 2 strain. You already got that on you this year. You're going to be extra cautious for the remainder of the year. And it means Giannis is not going to be eligible for All-NBA. You know, certainly for MVP, for how much of a case that we have made and during that 4-1 start, especially with the numbers he was putting up, he's not going to be eligible for any of that. It gives you even more incentive to say, look, you can't qualify anyway. We're not going to play you every single game. You know, we're going to build in some rest time and some off time here for you. And if that's the case, and you add on more games in these scenarios where you have really struggled, is there a period on the calendar that you look at this and you say, we need to be here. We need to have this record by here. Otherwise, this is what we do. Is it the end of the calendar year? Is it the end of January? Is it mid-January? Is it when Giannis comes back? Like, look, if we're not here, if we don't have this record, if we're not within two games of 500, then I think the decision may be made for us. Because you can still start to catch the field in the way that ordinarily you wouldn't want to. When we talk about Philly, when we talk about teams like Brooklyn, teams like Charlotte, Chicago right now is behind you, but you guys are tied in the standings. Those teams are still close enough where you could take this into your own hands. But let's just say, Matt, there is it 9 games? How many games do they have between now and the Wizards game? Is that 9 more? You got the 5-game road trip. You've got Detroit tomorrow. You've got Boston. You've got Brooklyn, and you've got Toronto. 9. So 9, yeah. All right. Let's say in those 9 games, let's say you go 2-7. So that would put you what, 12-21 on the season. At that point, if you go 2-7, I have to assume Chicago has leapfrogged you again. And Charlotte maybe is within 2 games or so of you. Like, if you're going into 2026 at 12-21, what do you do for the rest of the calendar year? Like, what is the cutoff date for you to say, look, it just didn't work this year. Let's try to get a really good draft pick, and our pitch job, our sell job this summer is we got elite talent coming in. Via the draft, we got this. We got Ryan Rollins. We got A.J. Green. We got Miles Turner. We got KPJ back. And we got you along with this first-round pick. This should be good enough. Is that how you view it, and is there a cutoff date on the calendar?
I would say just looking at the schedule, once you get through this stretch without Giannis, you get into January, that West Coast trip you're looking at starting January 4th, where you start with the Kings, which you should win that game. But
they already beat you once.
That's true. But then, I mean, you start a wild stretch of games. Yeah. Warriors, Lakers, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Spurs, Hawks, OKC. I mean, it's just, you don't get a break until the end of that month. So I think this road trip and, stretch without Giannis, until then is when I would look at to see where you're at and if you can reasonably expect to do anything. I also don't know when the trade deadline is, which obviously factors into this.
Whatever the first Thursday is in February, so it's like February 8th or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's pretty late in the season. Yeah, I promise.
I hesitate to even call it a silver lining, but Doc is big on, look, through adversity you find silver linings. We've been talking for years about a couple of things. Like, this team needs to get younger and get more athletic. They did that in the offseason. But we've also been saying, you need to hit it on draft picks, and you need to bring in talent through those means. And it's to be clear, we're not making excuses for the team because other teams have found talent. We just talked about Tyrese Maxey and what he's become. But when you're consistently drafting in, 24? It feels like the Bucks have drafted every single year that they've had a first-round pick. It's been about 24th, or they don't have one at all. Like, it does make it more challenging to find that talent and to supplement your roster with that. That's the one thing that's been missing for the last decade, ever since Giannis arrived, right? Is that type of infusion of talent. And you suddenly have an opportunity to get it because of what New Orleans has gone through this season and everything that happened in the offseason. It's going to be really tough to pass up, especially if you struggle through these next 9 games and put yourself in that spot where you're suddenly 10 games below 500 or somewhere around there. The bigger thing is just going to be, I just finished saying, I don't see the organization saying, we've decided we're going to trade Giannis. But it does make for an awkward situation knowing everything that has been out there this week. And look, to be fair, Giannis has not come out and said, I want to be traded. And I know there's been a lot of yeah buts and pointing too, because Brian Windhorst made that comment on ESPN Cleveland that Giannis has already asked to be traded. This was out there over the summer. It was, August, September that Ian Begley talked about. There were discussions that took place between the Bucks and the Knicks. But as all of us have kind of known, if you look at the Knicks roster, there's not a fit here. You don't have draft picks. You don't have young pieces that we would like. If we decide to make this deal and move on, bringing in tread-the-water guys like Karl Anthony Towns, that doesn't help. That's not what we're looking for. We need to get better and younger and build for the future. So that had been out there for months, and we're now acting like, holy cow, like this is breaking news. And I know Brian Windhorst has kind of backtracked and said, well, there was not a trade request. He did not ask to be traded. But if you look at what was said there, if you look at Shams and the fact that Shams Charania included the name of the agent in his tweet as well, where it's a little more difficult to hide behind and to say, well, I guess, this may be didn't happen quite this way, opposed to just sources close to. Like, there's a lot of gray area and ambiguity when you're doing that. If you are specifying an individual and saying, look, according to, or not according to, however it was phrased, but to use that name, that's putting yourself out there to the point that I don't think you do that if you are fabricating all of this. Because of all of that, it's a tricky conversation to have, to say, look, I know this is what you wanted. I know we want this as well, and we thought the things that we did over the summer were going to put us in this spot. It ultimately didn't work out. You know, it may come to that conclusion here this season. If, look, we thought this was going to make us better. We got younger. We knew we weren't going to have Dame this year. We knew it was probably time to move on from Brooke Lopez. The moves just didn't work out, and it didn't put us in the spot that we thought it would put us in. But we think this one will, and we don't know when we're going to have an opportunity to do something like this and to get a player like this again until 2031, right? Unless something else happens where you force our hand and say, look, didn't work. It's time to explore other things. This may be our only chance to get that in the next, 5 years, to get that type of thing, to try to thread the needle and say, okay, here's how we can transition the back half or back end of your career with these young pieces that have really started to develop and advance here in Ryan Rollins, what you've seen from A.J. Green, Kevin Porter Jr., and what he's shown as well, but now to add this guy as well, whatever it is, whoever it is that you would be able to get in the draft, that's going to be hard to pass up. And it's going to take buy-in, or it's going to take just, look, we're doing this, and if this changes course for both of us and it forces us into, this is how we get younger and this is how we start the rebuild, and it means you would like to compete for a championship and don't think it's going to come in the next 2 years, then we'll have to have that conversation. But right now, this is what feels like it may well be in the best interest of this organization, short term and long term, especially when you look at those standings and see again, New Orleans is 3-20 on the season. DeJounte Murray is going to miss a bulk, if not all, of this season. Zion Williamson just went down again. He's probably going to miss about 5 weeks. So it's not going to get better in New Orleans. So there's not that threat or that danger of, man, the pick swap component. What if New Orleans turns this around and gets better and we don't? And then Atlanta can swap and take our pick and we're getting a mediocre New Orleans pick. I don't think you have that to worry about. Tomorrow night, Bucks head to Detroit to take on the Pistons for the third time already this season. And again, that's part of this tough stretch. Pistons, Raptors, Celtics, 5 games on the road. It's going to be a challenge here from now until the end of the year. So we'll take a look at that matchup with the Pistons and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. 116-101, the final tonight. The Bucks come up short against the 76ers. 22 points from Bobby Portis off the bench. Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. both ended up getting there in terms of their numbers and combined in this one for 36 points and 16 assists. Miles Turner got off to a terrific start. This is another game where we didn't see a lot of Miles Turner down the stretch. And afterwards, Doc Rivers said they just wanted somebody that could be a rim runner. But noted, look, we're going to see more lineups with Miles Turner and Bobby Portis. And look, I've seen the comments. I'm not insinuating the Bucks are actively tanking or looking to do so. A lot of the discussion tonight is stating the obvious, in that this team has not been good when Giannis has been off the floor. You lose once again tonight. It's, 1-5, I think, now is the record in games that Giannis did not play in. You're going to have, in all likelihood, at least 9 more of those in the short term. The numbers would seem to indicate you're going to go 1-8 or 2-7 in those games, if we're taking the previous sample size as gospel. That's going to put you in a very, very precarious spot. So my point is more not to insinuate they are actively tanking, but if that's how you go into January and you know Giannis has already missed this chunk of time, Giannis is going to miss some more games for the rest of the season. He's not going to play in every single game upon his return, especially if he's just dealing or coming off of what seems like it's a grade to calf strain. You put yourself in a very, very tough spot to make any type of noise. And if your ceiling then, if that's how you go into 2026, if your ceiling is a 10 seed, you know, the 10 seed means you got one chance. You don't have any chances to lose. You got no margin for error, just as we've talked about throughout these games. You're going to have to win two games, both on the road, to get into the playoffs. And if you do that, then you're playing the one seed, which seems like it's going to be the Detroit Pistons. I get, you got Giannis, right? And I'll take my chances against any team in the playoffs if he is healthy and if we have the right team around him, and especially if this team is playing the way they did the first five games of this season. But those are all big ifs. And if it gets to that point where that's what you're looking at, and even possibly saying, we got to do some work to get that 10 seed and get into the play-in tournament. Like, we're going to have to catch a team or two teams to get there. Is that what's in the best interest of your team in the short term and long term? To say, well, if that happens and we do win the 8 seed, we don't get a lottery pick. Like, we're going to get a pick that's better than we've had in recent years, but it's not a lottery pick. And we could be looking at that to really help start build something new. I don't have that answer. I don't think the Bucks have that answer right now. It's still too early to pull the plug. As I mentioned, Philadelphia didn't do it until January. But it's just to point out, you're four games above 500, and not to say there's no end in sight, but there's a lot of rough stretches in front. You know, the next probably 7, 8, 9 games without Giannis. The West Coast road trip that we mentioned early in January. It's going to get really tough. And, you know, this is a spot that's uncharted territory for any of us recently. When you think about the era of Bucks basketball from 2018 until the last couple of years. I mean, even the last 2 years, there was some initial dread, but you weren't talking about avoiding the play-in tournament. This was still a team that was pretty comfortable there. And now that's on the table. I mean, you go back to the losing streak, and we talked about it then. You look at last year and the 2-8 start to the season, and ultimately you went back at the end of the year and said, man, if only we didn't start 2-8, if only we were 6-4, then we're the 3 seed. And we have home court advantage against the Pistons in the first round of the playoffs. Not the team that's the worst possible matchup for us, and that's not the only reason why the Bucks lost in the first round, but we feel better about that draw, and maybe we're not talking about 3 straight first-round losses. It felt like with the losing streak and how other teams started to find their footing as you're going on that losing streak, you couldn't help but feel like, man, just like last year, are we going to look back at this stretch and say, well, if only it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be a play-in tournament team. Like, that's the reality of what you're facing right now. With those teams that are at the top, that, again, you never say never, but with where we currently are, to be 9 games back of the Pistons in the loss column, 7 back of the Knicks in the loss column, it's still early-ish in the season. It's still a lot of work to outplay those teams by that. So write those off. The Raptors, Raptors, Magic, Celtics, Heat, Sixers, you're 5 back in the loss column of all of those teams. You're 3 back of the Hawks, who are next closest to you. I mean, here's ultimately what it is. The Bucks are closer in the standings to the 11th-seeded Bulls and just as close to the 12th-seeded Hornets as they are the 9th-seeded Hawks. That's why we're having this conversation and why it's getting difficult, because of the fact that that's where you currently are and you're not out of the woods yet. You still have a chunk of games to be played without Giannis. The first of those games is tomorrow night in Detroit against the Pistons. 6:30 tip-off tomorrow night. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We hope for better things tomorrow. We will talk with you then.